Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, CIU, it's great to be with you this morning. Let me just ask you a question. How many of you have ever served in a youth ministry as a volunteer or a youth leader? Raise your hands. Okay, so many of you. Awesome. Well, what you may not have known when you did that is that you're in one of the most important ministries of the church, because 90% of those who trust Christ do so before their 21st birthday. So if we're going to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, actually youth ministry is one of the best ways to do that. And a lot of people don't realize that that same thing is true in missions, that overseas in dark areas of the world, like where I live and serve in Central and Eastern Europe, work with young people is the fastest way to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Josiah Venture team for the last 25 years has been equipping local churches in Central and Eastern Europe to reach young people. And if you're thinking about youth ministry and maybe about missions and wondering how these two could come together, there's three ways you could get involved in Josiah Venture. One is we're looking for more staff. We're working in 14 countries of the region, working with about 400 local churches, and several of our staff are graduates of this incredible school. And as you're thinking about the future, maybe God's calling you to missions and youth work. Future, maybe that's a long ways away. What are you going to do with your summer? And every summer we mobilize about 120 to 150 college students who help us do 125 camps, evangelistic camps, with about 6,000 young people. And you might be thinking, what am I doing with my summer? You could spend it in Central and Eastern Europe doing evangelism with young people with Josiah Venture and also just learning and growing a lot. So that's another opportunity. Or you might be in a local church here and you're thinking about, I need a missions trip for my youth group. Josiah Venture is also a key place to do that. And so if you're interested in more information, our team will be in the Rickard dining room at lunch. So you can grab your food and just go, is that right? Rickard, Rickard, something like that. Dining room at lunch. And you can join us to find out more. Well, I hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. Do you? If you do, or you have it on that phone of yours or some other electronic item, on your watch, wherever it is, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, to our text for this morning, chapter 6, and we'll be starting with verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. You got it? Here's what it says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Don't be anxious. Let me ask you a question. Are you ever anxious or worried? Ever? You're students, so you actually have a lot to be anxious and worried about, right? There's tests that come more often and more quickly than you want. There are bills that have to be paid, lots of money that you don't have and that you're wondering, will I ever have? You're thinking about your future job, your future in general. You can get worried and anxious about your boyfriend or girlfriend that doesn't exist yet. That's why you're worried and anxious about them. About family issues. I mean, there's a lot to worry about as a student. And not only are you a student, you're just a human being. And humans have a lot to worry about. Things like health, things like relationships, where the country is going, if the hurricane will make it here and stop all our classes like I heard it did here. There's lots to worry about. And when you think normally, your thoughts go in a straight line. You think, I have a test tomorrow. I'll start studying at 4 o'clock. It will be great. Or you think, I have a school bill. I need to write a check. It's paid off. You think, there's a cute girl. I'll ask her out. I have a date. Straight line thinking. That's how it normally works. But when we worry or we're anxious, our thoughts go in a circle. We think, I have a test tomorrow. Oh no, I feel stupid. I'm never going to get this material. How am I going to get everything done? I have a test tomorrow. Oh no, I feel stupid. And you start in this circle. Or you think, what about my future? Should I go into ministry or go into a job or do this or that? And then it circles again. What about my future? Should I? And our thoughts go in these circles. That's what worry does. It sends our thoughts in circles. And those circles, well, we can get caught in those circles of worry for a long time. Let me just ask a question. I think probably lots of you were anxious or worried somewhere in sometime in the last 3 days. And so I want you to turn to the person next to you. Is there anything you were worried or anxious about in the last 3 days? Tell them that. And I won't give you a half an hour, just a minute to share those things. Okay, do y'all have something in your mind? Now keep that worry thought in your mind, that anxious thought. And when you get in that loop of worry about that thing, what happens to you? Do you feel your body kind of tense up? You know, those muscles? Do you feel your attention kind of go inside and your energy go in circles? Do you feel how you kind of lose energy, how it affects your sleep? It can even affect your health. You feel stressed, you feel nervous, you feel anxious. What does worry cost you? Probably costs you a lot, right? Costs you a lot to be anxious. It's not free. It's actually rather expensive to be worried. And what does worry gain you? Well, people who do studies on worry say that 40% of what you worry about never happens. Never happens. 30% of what you worry about is past and it can't be changed. 12% of what you worry about are health issues that you also can't influence. 10% is worry about things that really don't matter. And only 8% of your worry is valid. So 92% of that energy is just lost. It really had no benefit. Now, what would happen if I could wave a magic wand this morning and just remove your worry? It's just gone. Like for the rest of the semester, just gone. Wouldn't that, do you think all the energy that would be freed up, the lift on your spirits, the joy that would return, the nice nights of sleep, the extra focus you would have when you're studying because you're not doing this worry loop, wouldn't that be incredible? Okay, so I want to do that this morning. I want to wave a magic wand and just take away your worry. Here it comes. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. So don't be anxious. Just don't be. So how'd that, did I take care of that? How'd that go? I mean, I'm reading the Word of God, right? Is your worry gone? Okay. All right. It didn't work. So I have to think a little longer. Now, one of the things you realize if you've studied the Word of God and you study that here, that it's important to take truth in context. And sometimes if we don't understand a passage, we need to read further. So let's read a little bit further to see how that magic wand works. Don't worry, okay? Don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Oh, Jesus, you're actually making things more difficult. Because it would seem to be logical to say to you, don't worry about the small things, that 92% that doesn't matter. Forget about that. So you can save your worry energy for the big things. You know, you have worry rations, and we think, let's try to decrease your worry and use your worry rations only on the things that really matter, on that 8%, the things that really matter. So Jesus is saying here, don't worry about the small things like food and clothes. Wait, about food and clothes? Like, those are pretty big things. What would happen if I said, by the way, there's no food in the whole state for the next 7 days, but just don't worry, just do your homework, just go to class. No food, that's just a small thing. Or if I said, by the way, when you wake up tomorrow morning, all of your clothes will have magically disintegrated, and the only thing that you will have is what you wore to bed, and you just need to wear that the rest of the day. And all the stores are closed. So some of you are going, oh, that's really dangerous. Don't think long about that one. Small things like food and clothes. He says, don't worry about those things. So he's not just talking about the 92%, he's talking about the 8%. And Jesus seems to be saying, my goal for you is not less worry, but zero worry, absolute worry removal. Take it out of your life. Do not be anxious about the big things. Now, this is interesting and fascinating and seems to be impossible, but if you look at Jesus, you'll find that that was true of his life. Jesus was angry. Jesus wept. He was sad. He was tired. He was filled with compassion. He was filled with joy. But do you ever see a verse where it says Jesus worried as he was, or Jesus anxious about the next day? You actually never find Jesus being worried or anxious. Never, ever, ever. So what would it be like if Jesus would absolutely, totally remove worry and anxiety from your life? Like zero worry. What would that be like? Is that even possible? Okay, wow, this text is actually getting harder. Maybe we need to continue to read because it's important to see verses in context, right? So let's read on. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you worried about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So Jesus starts talking about your Father. He says, if you want worry removal, you're going to have to think about your Father and think about who he is. And let me tell you something about your Father. I know your Father. I don't know your earthly dad, but I know your heavenly one because he's mine too. And you have an amazing, amazing Father. Did you realize that all those birds that are flying around in all of the world, some of them sparrows, some of them peacocks or amazing birds like that, he feeds them. And he does that without breaking a sweat. It's not difficult to him. He feeds them. And all those flowers, he could make all the flowers gray. They wouldn't need to be flowers, but he clothes the grass and he clothes the trees and he clothes them. He thinks about that. And those are little things. He cares so much more about you. Oh, you have little faith. Your Father is thinking about you all the time and cares about the things that you care about, maybe even more than you care. When I was in Bible college, I had a very interesting roommate. He was totally different than I am. He was extremely responsible and conscientious and just wanted everything to be done perfectly. And so much so that when he got new books, he'd always take the covers off of them because the paper cover's a little messy. And then he'd line them up on his bookshelf in order of height so that they'd all look perfect. And he'd take his ruler and make sure that they absolutely lined up with the edge of the shelf. He had a cup full of pencils and an electric pencil sharpener. And he couldn't study without making sure all his pencils were sharpened and they all had to be the same length. So he'd sit there and then he'd get one the wrong length and he'd have to go and fix all the other ones so that they'd stand evenly in the cup. And he couldn't study without his desk totally clean. And then his hair was already falling out as a 20-year-old. And so sometimes he'd start studying and he'd start playing with his hair and his hair would fall down on the desk. And then he couldn't study till he cleaned up all his hair and he could study on. Well, I had another friend who loved to play practical jokes. His name was Dan. This guy's name was Troy. And Dan decided to just play with this aspect of Troy. And so he found a bunch of keys and he attached a little note on them that said, Troy, could you please return these keys? Thanks. And he didn't sign it. He just put it on Troy's desk. So Troy comes to his perfect desk clean so he can study and finds these keys and that he's supposed to return. And so he starts down the hall and says, does anyone know whose these keys are? Does anyone know whose these are? I need to return these keys. Whose keys are these? And no one knows, well, except Dan, but he doesn't tell. And so then he comes back and he puts them on his desk. Now, he can't throw them away, right? Because they're keys. And he's supposed to return them, so he keeps them out so that he can remember this. And now he can't study because these keys are on his desk. And so every time he sits down, he sees these keys and goes, I'm supposed to return these keys. Someone's missing their keys. These keys are important. I don't know what to do. And Dan caught Troy in a worry loop. And he was trapped there. For 3 days, Troy did no studies as he sat there and thought about, how can I return these keys that I don't know how to return these keys? Doesn't that sound like a fun prank? And now you can't do it here because all of you know it. So you can't do that to your roommate or your friend. After 3 days, we finally felt compassion on Troy. And Dan said, Troy, actually, I don't know whose keys these are. I just found them. But you don't have to return them. I put them on your desk. And Troy was like, why did you do that to me? He said, Dan said to Troy, why did you just throw them away? He said, I couldn't do that. And they started arguing back and forth. And finally, Troy said to Dan, well, what would you have done with keys that ended up on your desk with a note like that? And Dan said, well, that's easy. What would you have done? He said, I would have just put them on someone else's desk. I just put them on someone else's desk. Now, you have keys that end up on your desk with a note that says, do something about this. This is really important, and you don't know what to do. But what you forget is that you have a loving Father who manages things much more complicated than your problem. And you can actually put your keys on his desk with a note that says, Dad, could you do something about this? And you can sign your name. And you don't even need to know what he's going to do because he's so competent. If he can take care of the entire world, he can take care of your thing that you're worrying about. Have you ever thought of putting your keys on someone else's desk? Now, Troy responded and said, I could never do that. That would be irresponsible. And sometimes we feel like it would be irresponsible to load up my Father with these things that I'm worried about because I need to carry them. But you know what he says in this text? He says, actually, you have little faith if you're not entrusting me with the things you're worried about. You don't really believe. You don't really believe that I am who I've said I am. You don't really believe that when I say you are so valuable to me that I really mean it. So what would happen if when your mind went in a loop, you just grabbed your keys and put them on your Father's desk and said, could you deal with this? What if he's not able to? Well, he is. He's got lots of time, all of the time in the universe. He knows what's going to happen. He can think forward and he can think backwards. He has all power. He can do anything he wants. And not only that, he says he cares about the things that you care about. He's concerned about your food and about your clothes and about those things. And he says, how won't he take care of you, oh, you of little faith? And here's the crazy thing. Your Father's already thinking about you. Psalm 139 says he thinks about you more times than the grains of sand on the sea. And so you're doing work that he's already doing. You're doubling up. Why not just get the keys off of your desk and say, Dad, I'm glad you're taking care of this one. And I'll focus on the things that can move in a straight line, the issues that you have in front of me. Now, the text goes on. It actually says more. Jesus says another key. Actually, that's the first key to worry removal. It's getting the keys off of your desk and onto your Father's. But then he says in verse 14, he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I want you to do something right now. I want you to hold up your thumb. Okay, hold up your thumb. You all need to do this. And I want you to look at it very carefully. Look at it very carefully. And just check any dirt under that thumbnail. You didn't clean that very well this morning. Okay, also check to see if there's any white spots on the nail because that means you've got a magnesium deficiency. Is your thumb actually symmetrical? You know, it may not be. It may be that... Maybe that you're imbalanced. Your thumb is imbalanced. It's not. It needs a little work. Okay, you're studying that carefully. All right. Now I want to make sure you're holding your thumb in exactly the right place. It shouldn't be too high. It shouldn't be too low. It shouldn't be too far to the left or to the right. Just make sure you get it in the right place. Now, keep looking at your thumb and notice everything around you. Do you notice how everything else is blurry? Like you can't really see anything else when you're looking close at yourself. Everything else goes out of perspective. And here's the thing. We actually, especially young people your age, you spend a lot of time looking at your thumb. Did I get that right? Did I do that right? Where's my future? How am I going to manage this? Who am I? The crazy thing is when you look at yourself too closely, you actually lose perspective on yourself because everything else goes blurry, right? And the crazy thing about if you try to find yourself by focusing on yourself, in the end, all you'll have to show for yourself is yourself. And there's this crazy paradox in Scripture that says when we get our eyes off of ourselves onto something bigger, that's when we really have context for our life. So I want you to do it again. Put your thumb up, and I want you to close one eye and line your thumb up to me. Line it up to me. Okay, get it lined up. Okay. Is it lined up? Is it still lined up? Okay, yeah. All right. Is it lined up? Just your thumbs are all in exactly the right place. This is amazing. Well, why? Because you see yourself, but you're focusing on something else, and you're lining yourself up to something outside of yourself. And this is what Jesus is saying. He says, my goal for you is that you seek first his kingdom, your Father's kingdom, and his righteousness. And by the way, if you do that, you'll just automatically get lined up. All these things will be added to you. So it's not like that. Your thumb's not important, but it gains meaning in the bigger context of the Father's kingdom. Sometimes the reason why we're worrying is because we're focused in the wrong place. He says, get your eyes onto my kingdom and my righteousness. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, what does that mean? You're still a student. Can you seek his kingdom and his righteousness here? I wonder what would happen if when you start worrying, you just go, okay, right now I'm going to purposefully seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Just say, Father, what are you doing right now? And who do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? And who do you want me to be? His righteousness, his kingdom. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be? I remember one time when I was a student, spring break was coming up, and I didn't know what I was going to do in spring break and was really anxious about it because I needed to make some money. And the only job I could get was working in a garden, actually it was a teacher's garden, hoeing. And all my friends were doing missions trips and I was going to have to stay around on campus or they were going home. I was just anxious about this week, not looking forward to it. And I remember in the morning I was having my devotions and I came across this verse. Don't be anxious. And then it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. So I said, Jesus, I want to get my eye off my thumb today and just ask the question. Today, even though I'm working in a garden somewhere, I'm not working in a garden. I am seeking your kingdom and your righteousness. So all day I want to work and do, and for you maybe it'd be studies or working in the cafeteria. I want to do that, seeking your kingdom and your righteousness, because then all these things will be added to me. So I got in the car and I was driving to where I was going to work, thinking about this. Today, my job is not to work in a garden. It's to seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness. And as I was pulling off the highway, I saw a young girl hitchhiking. And because my mind was off of myself, I saw her. And I also just instantly heard the voice of the Spirit saying, stop and pick her up. I'm doing something right now. This is part of my kingdom. So I stopped, picked her up, said, wow, where are you headed? I was in Portland, and she said, I'm headed to Texas, San Antonio, Texas. Really, that's a long ways from here. Where are you going? I'm going to be with my dad to find my dad. Well, do you know his address? No, I don't. And turns out that her parents had been divorced. She'd lost touch with her dad. She got in a fight with her mom and was running away to San Antonio to find her dad. Well, San Antonio is a big place. This was a young girl. And I said, wow, it's early in the morning. Did you get up early? She said, actually, I've been up all night standing beside that road. I said, you probably didn't get breakfast, did you? She said, no. I said, why don't you come with me? And I took her to this house that I was at and we had breakfast together. And then I said, you know what? Just get a little bit of sleep. And then I want to talk to you a little bit more. So I was out working in the garden. She came out and we began to talk about Jesus. And I said, you're trying to find your father, but your father's trying to find you. can I tell you some about him? See, there's a kingdom that the Father's building. And so I start talking to her about her dad and telling her about Jesus, his son, that came and made a way for her to come to know him. And I drew the chasm and the bridge in the dirt with my hoe. And in the end said, would you like to put your faith in Jesus Christ? And she said, yes. A 16-year-old girl said, yes. And we knelt in the dirt in this garden, and she put her faith in Christ. And then we got her back home to her mom. And that was such an incredible day, just an amazing day. But I would have never caught his kingdom if I hadn't focused on his kingdom, if I hadn't gotten my eyes off my thumb and asked, God, you're building your kingdom today, and you have a place for me in it. Will you invite me in it today? And that's true if you're studying. That's true if you're working. Every day, your Father's building his kingdom, and he's inviting you into it. What would happen if you sought first his kingdom and his righteousness and just let him take care of all those things that you're worried about? Now, I have a particular challenge for you today. What would it be like if on the campus of CIU we had 3 worry-free days? Okay, today is, what day is today? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the rest of today, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What would happen if we had a worry-free campus for 3 days? Well, what would happen? Well, how would that change the atmosphere on campus? How would that change the spirit in your classes? And I want to invite you to a CIU experiment of 3 worry-free days for the rest of this week. Could we do that together? See if that works? Now, this is what will happen. Your mind will start going in the circle, and you'll have to take your keys and put it on your Father's desk. You're going to get preoccupied with things that are close to you that you're worried about, and you're going to have to say, I want to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. What do you want me to do, and who do you want me to be? That's much more important than anything else. And if you'll do those things, the care of the Father and the Father's mission will be like 2 anchors that hold you out of worry. Like, the Father's caring for me. The Father has a cause for me. Why do I need to worry? Those will pull you out of worry. Now, can we just practice? Can we try that together for 3 days? Okay. Keys on the Father's desk. Eyes off your son, of your thumb and onto his son. What would that be like? So I want to just ask, who is willing to take the 3-day CIU worry-free challenge? Raise your hand. Okay, you want to try this. Okay, great. A lot of you. Good. Your hands are in the air. I'm here. I'm seeing that commitment. So look around, see people near you, because you may need to remind them when you see them going into a worry loop, wait, reach for the Father's care, reach for the Father's cause, get the keys onto his desk and your eyes onto his kingdom. Okay, this is going, I wish I was here on Friday to find out how this goes, but this could be an amazing experiment. Let me pray for you as you head into this challenge from your Father. Father, I thank you that Jesus loves us so much that he actually wants us to be worry-free. For worry not to be robbing us of energy and time and attention, not to be pulling our eyes back into ourselves. And I thank you that he gave us a practical way to get out of worry by entrusting ourselves to the Father's care, getting those things off of our desk onto his, and by focusing on the Father's cause, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then when we do that, we can be in a place where worry and anxiety are not a part of our lives. So I pray that you would empower the student body in this 3-day experiment, help them to encourage and cheer on each other. And may we learn that this is really possible through the power of your son, Jesus. In his name, amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.